You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. You're listening to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for subscribing on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or in Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. I'll be opening up the mailbag to answer your questions about what Heat players have been doing during the three-month hiatus from basketball, which teams could benefit or suffer from the long break. But first, some news and notes from around the league. Gabe Vincent was selected as the G League's most improved player. He spent part of the season with the Stockton Kings before joining the Sioux Falls Skyforce. Of course, that's the Heat affiliate for the G League. He scored about 21 points per game, mostly on three-point attempts, where he shot about 40% from the floor. He's also a 92% free throw shooter, and that's obviously the strength of his game. He did spend some time with Miami before the season came to a screeching halt. And he talked about the strength of his game being shooting. And I think Miami's leaning into it. Sioux Falls, one of the better organizations, like just like the Heat are at the NBA level. But the Sioux Falls Skyforce try to copy a lot of what Miami does at the NBA level, at the G League level. And that's by just kind of using the same terminology, using the same kind of coaching techniques and things of that sort. Now, there are outside factors, of course. The G League players are trying to get noticed. They're trying to do what they can. The pace is much faster, and so players are going to be scoring at a pretty high clip. But you can tell how Sioux Falls and the Heat have a vision for Gabe Vincent based on the numbers between his performance in Stockton and then his performance with Sioux Falls. Basically, he was averaging almost 32 minutes per game, in 20 games played with Stockton, and 11 games with the Sioux Falls Skyforce, he only averaged about 24 minutes per game, yet he averaged about the same number of three-point attempts. So I think they're already starting to implement a lot of what we've seen with Wayne Ellington, Ray Allen before that, of course, now Duncan Robinson, and an extension of that being Gabe Vincent. And so if I had to guess, the role that they envision for Vincent is to be a guy who comes off screens, who constantly moves, who uses his feet, and have that same kind of offensive repertoire that we've seen from Duncan this past season. On the off chance that they lose Duncan via free agency or something happens, at the very least, they have a suitable backup, because there are other skills that Duncan brings to the table. Vincent, a little smaller. He's not exactly the same size as Duncan Robinson, and so he's not going to be counted on to guard other players, bigger players. He's not as switchable on defense. He's more of a point guard, shooting guard mold, a little bit on the smaller side, kind of like Tyler Johnson, although I think a little less explosive or athletic. But, you know, his rebounding numbers were down in Skyforce. His assist numbers were down. Basically, he was just concentrating on his shots. He shot about 10.1 three-point attempts per game out of a total of 13 attempts per game. So the bulk of his shots were coming off of three-point attempts. Very different than what his performance was like in Stockton. But either way, that's the vision for him. And I think it's a good plan. You know, you always want to be able to bring those guys up. And I think that shows a lot of forethought as far as the Heat are concerned, being able to kind of say, you know, we'll always be able to bring somebody else and up and kind of fill those roles if you do wind up losing Duncan in free agency. The NBA's transaction window opened up on Tuesday. The Heat haven't done anything just yet. There's a lot of talk about them signing a player, possibly even waiving a player. It looks like Solomon Hill, who has rejoined the team. That was a little bit of news that broke a couple days ago, and I haven't had a chance to really talk about that yet. He's rejoined the Heat. He's with the organization. Coaching staff has rejoined the team as well. So Spoelstra is in the house, and he's watching and supervising players as they're getting ready to prepare for the proposed schedule that's leading up to the Orlando restart of the NBA season. As far as Solomon Hill is concerned, I don't know that you necessarily have to waive him if you don't want to pay him, or if you just don't necessarily see that he's going to be an impact player. But I mean, he's a shooter. He's an okay potential defender. I mean, he's a bigger body than maybe some of the guys that are available, and he's actually got some play experience this past season. So I think I know a lot of people look at Solomon Hill and just because of his reputation, because the fact that he got paid a lot of money as a free agent a few years ago, he's never going to live that down. He's probably a fringe player, and I understand that perspective. But he's also an active NBA player, and he's also very good in that regard, and he can contribute. He did do so before the end of the season, and I'd imagine that he's probably going to be given an opportunity when the season restarts in Orlando, even if they – I mean, just because – they're going to wind up playing as many people as possible. There's going to be these games every other day. It's going to be an intense atmosphere where they're going to be speeding things up. And you want to be able to get the guys on your roster in as much shape as possible. Everybody's going to go through the next few weeks where it's a very intense, shortened burst of training camp. And so you hope for a guy like Hill, he'll be able to at least get himself into good playing shape and be able to make some kind of contribution. So I don't know that they're necessarily going to plan on waiving him. I think a lot of that fire or talk was fueled by the fact that he sat out for as long as he did. And maybe he opts to sit out. That's also a possibility that I'll talk about in the next segment. But regardless of whether or not they choose to waive Hill, they still can bring aboard some additional players because the expanded rosters will allow them to go up to 17 players that they take with them to Orlando. And of course, that also means free agent talk. So the biggest name on the board, Boogie Cousins, already has made it well known that he is not going to sign with the team. He has elected to sit out the Orlando restart. He's going to continue his rehab. I talked about this last week on my previous mailbag episode where, you know, I think a lot of you all were interested in signing Boogie because he's just a name that's a big name and somebody that the Heat organization has had shown interest in the past. But I think this is the right decision for Boogie. I think it's the right decision for the Heat and any other team that were interested in signing him because he's just probably not in great shape. He's not in playing shape and he could risk further injury and you know, he could end his career just to be the 15th or 16th player on a roster. He is not the DeMarcus Cousins who was with the New Orleans Pelicans or even before that with the Sacramento Kings. He is nowhere near the all-star level that he had been. So that's a concern. And for Boogie, I think he's made the right decision. So best of luck to him. But there are other options out there. Some Heat favorites, I think. Mario Chalmers wants to play. He's made it known via Twitter. He's available. Did not play last season in the NBA, although I believe he was in Europe, the Turkish League, if I'm not mistaken. So he has some playoff experience. He was also with the Big Three League. He's been training around town. We've seen some footage of him on social media, so maybe he's still in good shape and available. There's also Tyler Johnson, who was waived by the Phoenix Suns and was not picked up by any team on waivers. And so right before the season ended, he was basically an unrestricted free agent. He could join any team he wants to. Obviously, there's familiarity here with Miami. And Michael Beasley is an option. We've seen some footage cropping up over the last couple days on social media that he's been putting up points and things of that sort. Some of the other names that are being included as far as potential free agents: Iman Shumpert, last with the Sacramento Kings, if I'm not mistaken. Jamal Crawford, longtime veteran who just hasn't been around. He was with the Phoenix Suns last season, did not play at all this season. J.R. Smith, obviously, has not played in a while. He was last with Cleveland. Isaiah Thomas has been through, I can't even recall now. I believe he was with Denver last, but you know, obviously after having played with Washington for a point and then joining the Nuggets, he was seen as a potential contributor, but he has been far from the player that he once was, unfortunately for him. But overall, the conversation is, what do the Heat need? And I was just thinking about it. I don't know that they actually need anything. I look at this roster. Maybe you'd want a guard position or a ball handler type who can also provide a high level of defense, because between Kendrick Nunn and Goran Dragic, you have two subpar, smaller guards that don't necessarily play defense at a high level. And so there is some concern that they could be exposed defensively. Now, there's also, you know, plenty of shooting around the roster. There's plenty of scoring. You have plenty of wing defenders. You have a lot of different versatile defenders. You have bigs. You're not going to pluck a big man off the waiver wire here and be able to plug him in as your starting center, even if Myers Leonard isn't at 100% or able to contribute at a high level. You can always go back to Kelly Olynyk. You can always go with Bam as your center. So I look at this roster. I think they're deep. I think they're covered at every position. Every need space that you could possibly imagine is filled. And so I don't see why you'd bring anybody else there. So the secondary concern is, who would you bring in that would be a good fit? And as much as I love Mario Chalmers and love his irrational confidence and everything else, he's going to be playing not necessarily for himself, but he's going to be playing for the opportunity to prove that he's still an NBA quality player. And so that kind of changes things a little bit. As far as Michael Beasley is concerned, that ship has sailed. I don't think he is a big fan of Eric Spoelstra and the organization, so I just don't think he'll do it, even if he just wants another paycheck, another opportunity to continue to play. And look, for all the points he scored, that's never been a problem with Bees. It's about his defense and his conditioning and his ability to just kind of be a plug-and-play player. So I just don't see it happening. A guy like Shumpert, a proven defender, a guy who's an NBA champion with the Cavaliers, J.R. Smith, the same thing. You know, I think J.R. provides some shooting and some veteran presence. Shumpert, a little bit more of defense end. Fine players, but again, they've been out for a while. They haven't been solid contributors. I don't know that they're necessarily going to fit into Heat culture right away. And you don't necessarily need wing players unless somebody in the Heat roster chooses to sit out. I think you've got plenty with Derek Jones. You've got plenty with Jay Crowder. You got everybody there. Andre Iguodala, you just picked him up. So I'm just not sure why you bring in somebody like that. Isaiah Thomas, a little undersized. Again, not quite the scorer he once was, never a very good defender who can be exposed quite a bit, so I don't see a need for him at all, unfortunately. To me, of these names, if you're going to bring in anybody, the guy who I think fits in best as a player who's not trying to, you know, play for his next contract because he's not trying to make a lot of money because he's already made a lot of money is Tyler Johnson. You know, he got paid handsomely 4 years ago by the Heat. And now that he's a free agent, I don't know that he's necessarily going to look to cash in or make a big name for himself. He's just going to be a guy who can fit in. He's always been a hard worker. He understands the Heat system. And I think he's an unselfish guy who you can fit in pretty well there. So if I had to pick from these names and the others that I've seen available, Tyler Johnson is the name that I think fits best. He might not be the one that's most fun. I've seen a lot. I've responded to somebody on Twitter about that. And I know a lot of you are probably thinking, oh, come on, Beasley is a right guy. He's a lot of fun. But man, I can't see it happening. There's no Michael Beasley, no BEASY 4.0 here in the future. But anyway, what we might have to talk about is some NBA players who have chosen to sit out the Orlando bubble and whether or not a Heat player could do the same. I'll answer that next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. So go and make your own donation if you want. Just join us and please visit lockedonpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. With so many and increasing numbers of makes and models, it's impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the guy at the counter orders the parts on his computer and chooses the brand that the warehouse happens to carry? You have computers, you're on the internet, you have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. It's a great way of saving money. I've talked about it before. I wanted to replace my wife's taillight. It was busted. I went online to rockauto.com. It was really easy to use. There's a convenient self-service portion there that you can just go and find a part you need. Looked at it, found the right price, ordered it, had it delivered within a couple days, saved myself hundreds of dollars. That's the option for you. So many people are looking to save money, especially nowadays. And rockauto.com, who's been serving customers online for over 20 years, can do the same for you. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available, and go to the How Did You Hear About Us section and enter Locked On so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts you'll ever need, rockauto.com. Davis Bertans of the Washington Wizards has elected to sit out the Orlando bubble. Trevor Ariza also has elected to sit it out for other reasons than Bertans, and I'll get into those. As far as Ariza is concerned, they're of a somewhat personal nature. He's going through a unfortunately publicized custody battle, and he wants to spend some time with his 12-year-old son. I don't want to talk about that too much because, again, I think it's a personal thing that is unnecessary for him to talk about, and it should not have been publicized unless, you know, he and his agent authorized Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN to report that. But either way, for Bertans, the reason why he elected to sit out is because he is a free agent, an impending free agent. He's had a hell of a season. He's had some great performances against Miami. He's been a phenomenal shooter. He's a long player, tall. He can get that shot off over everybody. He's been a lot better of a shooter than anybody expected. Quick off the bounce. He can come off screens. He can let that shot fly, again, over almost any defender. And so he's been a real impact player, and he stands to get paid quite a bit as a long, tall shooter. who can shoot at a high level. Maybe this is just a contract year. Who knows? He's not been as bad defensively as you might have expected. He's already got some pretty solid coaching there, having been a part of the San Antonio Spurs for some time. And he was unfortunately traded to the Washington Wizards in exchange for the ability to sign Markieff Morris. And then, of course, Morris chose to sign elsewhere and kind of reneged on his agreed upon deal with the San Antonio Spurs. But that's a whole other story. The point is that Bertans is the first of his kind to kind of say, you know what, I don't want to play. There's no point in me playing about this, playing through Orlando, playing through eight regular season games, especially when the playoffs might be an impossibility for this team. For Ariza, he's part of the Portland Trailblazers that have to climb a pretty significant group of players there. I'm sorry, group of teams in the Western Conference just to reach the playoffs. And as a wing player, as a guy who might necessarily be necessary there, he has other bigger, more important issues to deal with. And so I wonder if we're going to start to see a lot more of these over the next few weeks, right before, you know, players are going to be going to camp. They've been sitting out for a few months now. They've been spending time with family at home in some cases. And I wonder if they just kind of say, you know what, I don't really feel like it's necessary. I think I talked about this on the weekly national show, Locked On NBA, so definitely go and check that out also. But me and Wes Goldberg talked about, you know, why they would possibly sit it out. And I think you have to be in the right kind of sweet spot here. For Ariza, again, you know, he's on a team that's probably more likely to reach the playoffs than the Wizards. But either way, they're on that group of teams there, the 17th through 22 teams that are in the playoff bubble that may not make it. You know, you've got Memphis, you've got New Orleans, you've got Washington, Phoenix, Sacramento, you know, Portland. If you're an impending free agent and you can risk your life, your health, you know, your money, I don't see why you'd want to risk it for eight games in Orlando. And I think that's a huge factor to consider. You know, there's other external factors. Like I said, I think players have gotten a taste for what it's like to kind of, you know, be able to appreciate the fruits of their labor. Their whole lives have been about working towards this goal of the NBA. And even during summers in between seasons, they're constantly working, trying to improve, get paid, etc. For the past few months, they really haven't had that opportunity. A lot of them have gone without basketball for a prolonged period of time. Maybe they've been able to work out and stay in shape in other ways, but it's probably going to be pretty comfortable. I can't imagine. I think a lot of people outside of basketball, you know, people listening to this show, have probably been, you know, stuck at home for some time, and maybe they even enjoyed it. I mean, stuck is not necessarily the right word. They've been at home. They haven't had to go to work. And if they're still getting paid and still have the opportunity to continue to be productive and feel good about spending time with their families, why would they want to go back to a working environment? I can imagine a lot of players feel the same way. I know I sure as hell wouldn't want to go back into an office if I didn't have to. So, as far as players are concerned, they might just want to sit it out. And there's also going to be a mental fatigue aspect. I heard Zach Lowe talking about this recently on his podcast, and it's something that I think has not been discussed nearly enough. Players are going to be confined to this Orlando bubble, whether they're playing for something or not. And I'm sure that even as we're seeing players already traveling to Orlando, all of a sudden, once they're there, it's going to hit them like a ton of bricks. It's going to be a daunting mental drain for you to be confined to your hotel room. As much as people in general have been confined to their homes and limited spaces, I don't think it's going to be quite the same thing. I think for a lot of these, you know, these players, you have the ability to get out at least a little bit out of the house. I mean, you wear a mask, you do what you can, you remain, you know, 6 feet apart from people and do everything you possibly can to avoid risk of contamination. But you've been able to get out of the house. I know a lot of people in Miami have been doing so, unfortunately, because they've been going to restaurants and bars and a lot of unessential places. But that's a whole other story. As far as players are concerned, you're going to be staying at your hotel, even if it's a 4 or 5 star resort on Disney's campus. You're not leaving there. You're not leaving there for a few weeks, possibly even for a few months, depending on how deep into the playoffs you go. That's going to be a little difficult. For a lot of these players, they're going to be without their family for a huge portion of time, at least a month, because families aren't invited into Disney World until after the first round of the playoffs. And so when there's only 8 teams left, if Miami's available, then you can all of a sudden bring, you know, player X can bring their family along. I think of a guy like Bam Adebayo, who lives with his mother. You know, his mom is basically in the same building. He's been close to her. He's mentioned her countless number of times after he won you know, an award at the All-Star event. He brought his mom on there on stage. I mean, obviously they're close and there's a great, connection there. It's going to be difficult for Bam. Even if he's been quarantined over the last few months, you know, at least he's had her available. This is probably going to be the longest he's gone without spending time with her. So I don't know how well prepared he is for this mentally. But, you know, it's just interesting that things have kind of progressed to this point. And with Bertans choosing, you know, to get paid next season and to not risk it for basically an empty playoff hope. What I found interesting was that Orlando Magic guard Evan Fournier kind of attacked him on Twitter. A little weird, considering that, you know, they're both European players, but that Fournier's already gotten paid. And he said, this is basically what's wrong with the NBA, is players sitting out and things of that sort. After Woj had tweeted out that Bertans would sit out the season. I don't know what the hell Fournier is talking about. I'm in shock here. I like Evan. Evan is a pretty good quote. I've talked to him a few times in Orlando. You can always get something interesting out of him for the most part. And he's French, perhaps a little abrasive, sarcastic, because that's just his personality, maybe. But maybe there's something a little lost in translation, although he speaks English pretty fluently. I mean, very fluently. I'm no disrespect to him at all as far as his language skills are concerned. But I don't know what the end goal is for him here, attacking a guy like Bertans. Because, look, Fournier's already been paid. He's gotten paid a lot of money. And he's not worried about his next free agent contract or anything like that. He'll probably get paid again at some point, but he's been a solid player. I'm just not sure what the goal is for him to attack another player looking to get theirs. I made the argument before I saw the Fournier attack, as far as Bertans is concerned. I thought players would support each other for this, you know, process. I thought they would say, you know what, you want to go and get paid, more power to you. I appreciate that. Everybody around the league has always been, to my knowledge anyway, pretty consistent about saying, you go get yours. That's the ultimate goal for everybody in the league, is to get paid. Yes, you want to win a championship, but you do what you have to do in order to get your money. And nobody messes with that as far as the guys around the league are concerned. So I'm a little confused by what Fournier is trying to do here. But I think that's another issue that we kind of have to look at here, is that players are going to be attacking each other. They're going to be kind of questioning what your motivations are, what your motives are. You wonder if players are going to go in kind of half-assed there. This might be a little general talk here, because I don't know that it necessarily applies to Miami, but there are some concerns there. Look, again, Bam and the mental aspect, the longing to be alongside his mother, that's going to be something to look out for. At least that's my belief. As far as players who might choose to sit out, I'm not so sure. There are plenty of free agents, obviously, between Myers Leonard, Jake Crowder, Derek Jones Jr., Goran Dragic. Those are the most notable names there. Of those guys, I don't know that Myers is going to sit it out. I think he's just wired differently. He's already got a pretty good deal that he's not going to likely match in free agency. As far as Crowder is concerned, kind of ditto. I just don't see him getting paid a lot as a free agent. So I don't know that he necessarily sees sitting out Orlando as a reason for him to risk anything, because there's not a lot. There's no huge pot of gold at the end of that particular rainbow. And so I don't see them kind of sitting out. Again, for Goran the same way. Like, you're always going to risk, injury as an NBA player. You might increase the risk. I'm sorry, not might. You're going to increase the risk of Corona or COVID-19 exposure in this bubble, because, well, you're going to be playing basketball for the first time in months. You're going to be sweating and playing and breathing around the same area where people are going to be in contact with others from the outside world. And so there's going to be an exposed risk. There's going to be an increased risk. You hope that nobody contracts it and nobody passes it along, and it doesn't spread like wildfire. Even as I'm recording this show, I'm seeing a tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski that Nikola Jokic has tested positive. He's asymptomatic, so there's nothing wrong there. He's thin. But we saw him standing next to other players in an enclosed environment there, taking pictures with people, this new skinny version of Jokic. And I mean, there's a good chance that he's already been spreading it, and we don't know. And so as an international player that's traveled from Serbia to come back to the United States, he has to be quarantined for a prolonged period of time. Who knows if he can contract it again? Who knows if he doesn't test positive? Maybe that test is faulty. There's going to be some concerns here. I can imagine Nuggets players being a little hesitant to play alongside a guy like Jokic, as much as they loved, you know, him as a teammate and a friend. There's always a risk of exposure here. But back to my point about the Heat, Derek Jones Jr. has the most to risk here. He's already been somewhat injury prone. He's a little thinner. I don't know how much the playoffs could help boost his stock. And I think that's where you have to kind of look at this. Is he going to be able to impress scouts or other front offices as a guy who can, take your team to the next level based on a limited role in Miami's system? And I'm just not sure that he can. You know, he's obviously very athletic. He's obviously very young. None of that's going to change based on his performance in Orlando. So if there is a player that's capable of sitting out, I'd say it's Derek. And, you know, I don't know that. I know we've kind of already heard that he plans on playing. Those perspectives can change. But he is the player most likely to sit out because he does have the most at risk there as a free agent. Even, you know, a few weeks, well, maybe months, I don't know. It's all kind of blurred now. We heard an interest from the Chicago Bulls and other teams, that he has the right mentality, the right kind of culture, understanding because of his tenure in Miami. And so he could be a guy that, other teams could be looking at, even though I think it's a mistake because I think he's the beneficiary of Miami's system, Miami's commitment to development and things of that sort. But that's a whole other conversation. Anyway, I'll get into some more of your questions about the Heat and the offseason, or rather, the hiatus that took place over the last few months in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Look, I've been telling you about Built Bars for a couple of weeks now, but it's the best tasting protein bar I've ever had. Look, my family likes it. We ordered another box recently. It's such a convenient thing to be able to grab a bar, not have to commit to a meal, and get the nutrients that we're looking for so that we can stay healthy and fills us up. There's so many different flavors to choose from, 16 in total, and you can build a box of however many bars you want. You can get four of this, two of the other, one of that. You just try different flavors and kind of get an experience there. It's just so convenient with so many people in the house like me. You know, everybody has a different flavor profile, a different flavor that they want to try. And so for Built Bar, it's been very, very convenient to get those, to use them, and to order the ones that we want. They're healthy. It's great for health-conscious people. You can lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. And that's what you're looking for. So go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to subscribe and follow this podcast right now on your favorite podcast app, and you'll get the latest episode of Locked On Heat as soon as it's out. Wanted to get to some of your Twitter questions that you send in using the hashtag AskLOHeat. It's been a while since I've answered a lot of questions. I got to some last week, but between conversations with Keith Askins that took place over a couple of episodes and some other basic news and notes from around the league, I haven't gotten to your questions as much as I'd like to. But I thought this was an interesting one that comes in from at Band-Aid Wade, who asks, if you had to bet on one player to come back out of shape, who would it be? That is a difficult question to kind of see or difficult answer to come up with because I can't come up with any player most likely to do so. Now, Solomon Hill seems like the most likely one because he's been spending time in California, has not had access to the Heat facilities like other players have. We heard early as a few weeks ago that almost every player had reported to the American Airlines Arena, with Jimmy and Andre Iguodala coming in a little bit later than that, and Solomon Hill being the last one, likely because he's A, not going to get a lot of playing time, B, he might even get waived. We have not heard anything specific yet. So as far as, you know, access and things of that sort, he hasn't had much. Hopefully he's been staying in good shape, and hopefully he's been, you know, doing whatever he can to kind of limit his food intake and, you know, do what he can. You know, we've heard that they've had Zoom workouts and things of that sort just to kind of stay connected. You don't know how religiously players are going to be following them, and they've been voluntary. It's not like all 15 players have logged on to Zoom every day for a Zoom workout and getting the kind of cardio that they're used to at the NBA level, and nothing compares to NBA playing and staying in NBA ready shape. So Solomon Hill seems like the most likely. After that, man, that is a tough question to answer because I don't see any of the guards. Goran's going to be committed anyway. Maybe he's had a little chance to kind of recover. He seems like a guy who's going to be naturally thin anyway, just kind of a little hyper, wired to just run and run and run and run. And for him, I think he's probably been playing with his kids, spending time with his family. I could see him being one of those players that really enjoys the off season and spending that kind of quality time with family and things of that sort, even as he's had concerns about his family in Slovenia. But as far as playing, he's not going to be, he's not going to be putting on pounds or anything like that. I'm sure he'll probably be in great shape and even enjoying the time off so he can heal and continue to get better and then just kind of come in and get into game playing mode pretty soon. You know, Jimmy's been playing and working out very, very doggedly, so he's not been a concern. Same with Kendrick Dunn and Tyler Hero, now who's finally healthy. I'm sure he's probably been itching to go out there. We've seen him on social media. He's been, he's been active. He's been doing things as best as he can. He probably hasn't been playing as much as he'd like to, but either way, I can't see him coming in bad shape. I look up and down that roster and there's nobody there. Crowder loves working out. He had problems with weight when he was younger, but that was a long time ago. He's no longer that person. And I think he could come in and fully in great shape and healthy. Myers has been active. He's a guy who just, I can't see him sitting still for very long. He's been doing things with his wife, Ellie. And so they've been trying to do what they can to stay in shape and have fun out there. Sorry, Band-Aid Wade. I can't see anybody coming in out of shape to this team. It's just so many players so committed here. Even for a guy like Andre Iguodala, knowing that at some point the season was going to resume, he's probably been getting high a lot. He's probably been just relaxing and doing what he does and spending time with family. And, he'll probably be able to get into playing shape pretty quickly. He was staying in pretty good shape even when he wasn't in playing condition, even when he wasn't on a team, rather, when he was just with the Memphis Grizzlies kind of waiting for to be traded and things of that sort. I imagine that he's probably been, chilling a little bit. But once you get into that kind of frame of mind, especially as a veteran player, I'm sure he can probably lock into it pretty quickly. So JJack44, always a big fan of the show, writes in, who will be the most productive player coming out of the break? Will Jimmy's shooting improve? Now, those are two separate questions. Will Jimmy's shooting improve is a question I'll answer in this episode. And my answer to that is yes. I cannot see him with the lights being brighter, with this kind of weird situation and everything that's taken place there over the last few months and him having the time to recover, that his shooting will stay at the same or get worse. I really do think a lot of what his shooting was like over the first few months of the season was mostly attributed to lingering injuries and things of that sort. Now, a lot of that was also that he was trying to get everybody engaged and ready and becoming the playmaker that we didn't know that he was this kind of quality playmaker as consistently. He has turned another level, I think, and taken another level since he's been to Miami. But as far as his shooting is concerned, I think he's had a number of lingering injuries there. And my concern is that for next season or the year beyond that. But with a couple months away from playing basketball, where he can just focus on cardio, strengthening, and just kind of recovering, I think he's going to be reporting in better shape than he was. And if that's the case, I imagine that his shooting will probably follow suit. He's probably been working out regularly. We know that he bought hoops for everybody on the team. I can only imagine that he's going to be able to stay in shape. And I think he's just hungry for the opportunity to kind of prove himself and to carry this team deeper into the playoffs. And so he just strikes me as the kind of guy who's going to be very ready and engaged and looking forward to the opportunity. He's built a little differently, that he likes coming up big in clutch situations. So I would see that shooting taking a big leap there. So that's it for today. Later on in the week, I'll have another episode of The Mailbag, plus addressing some additional issues about the league and Miami's restart. Make sure to subscribe and follow the podcast right now. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support. Yeah! Wrap it up, D.